Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Just a quick reminder, last time I'm going to say it, because next week, Hartley and I will be face-to-face. We're going to record a couple of episodes, but we want to do our, Ask Us Anything style episode. So we need questions. Please, please, please leave them down in the comments below. If you're on YouTube, if you're listening, whenever you get a moment, you can send us an email, dan@macrumors.com. We got some good questions so far, but could definitely use more. And you can send me an email or hit us up on X, Instagram, whatever's easier for you. And we'll answer your questions in a couple episodes from now. But we need those this week so that we can start putting them all together. Speaking of this coming week, Hartley, it's finally going to be over, kind of. We're still going to have to talk about it, but new iPads. Now, we talked about this last week, and I know it's a lot, but almost immediately after we were done, the episode came out. Then Sunday, Gurman dropped another bomb on us about how this is now going to switch from an M3 to an M4 chip. And I am still very skeptical on that. But I've heard a lot of people, explain the reasons why, Gurman himself. And I guess it makes sense from a chip standpoint. So the reasons currently, the neural engine is supposed to be pretty beefed up on the M4. And that's what's going to help drive a lot of these AI features. But why are we getting that now? Is this because of the developer conference coming later? Is this like a way for developers to get the M4 chip into, their hands now and start developing? And then that'll help, because we've had reports about the M4 Max being AI driven. And so, I'm just, enlighten us on where you think and why you think this is going to happen now. Because there are plenty of theories being floated out. So answer that. But also the first question, do you think this is actually going to happen? Do you think we're getting an M4 chip iPad?
I think that on balance, probably yes.
Okay.
A lot of people seem to think that it will actually be some kind of M3X or some kind of M3 variant.
Yeah,
I don't think it is. I think if it's going to happen, if this is not going to have the M3, it will be the M4. And there's a lot of reasons for this, but most superficially, we've heard this twice. There are two rumors now that have claimed this. Mark Gurman is obviously a very good source. He's not 100% sure about it. He described it as a quote-unquote strong possibility.
Yeah.
The rumor that was a little bit more interesting was something from, I think it was about a month ago, where it was a leak of upcoming Apple products and their chip identifiers. So it listed a number of products that currently don't exist and what chips they will contain with a specific numerical code. So some of those numerical codes could relate to things that we know that exist. So, for example, the M2 chip, there were four devices there for the M2 chip. And what would those be? Those would be the two new iPad Air models in both cellular and non-cellular configurations. So that's easy. We can work that out. But what's weird is there were four chips or four devices with this chip that we believe would be iPad Pros if there are four iPad Airs on that list, and yet they are not the M3. So it that was where this first came from, and this was a month ago. And that would suggest to me, considering that this is actually from Apple's back end, that this isn't a strange, obscure rumor coming out of Asia, like some of the stuff that we talk about. This actually has come from Apple. So that was very strange when we first saw it. And I remember writing the article we did about this and saying, it is a possibility that it could be M4. And now we have Mark Gurman saying this. So for that reason, to me, it seems quite likely. Now we can really start to unpack this a little bit. Mm-hmm. The first thing I think to bear in mind is that the M3, although it's only been out for 6 months, it's Apple's first 3-nanometer chip. And the process used for that is TSMC's first generation fabrication process for this. So it's a bit like a trial. It's a much more experimental node. And that hasn't happened in previous chip generations. So the M3 and the A17 Pro, they are slightly unusual chips that Apple had to make some changes to its chip roadmap to accommodate. So it would make sense if M4, which is based on what's called N3E, so that's 3-nanometer enhanced, would be the true chip that Apple actually wanted to provide, and therefore arrives a little bit sooner. And there's nothing to say that if that technology is ready, why would Apple arbitrarily just put M3 chips in an iPad that might be around for 18 months when M4 is right around the corner? And the last thing I'll say about this is that Apple sells nowhere near the number of iPad Pros as it does iPhones or Macs. Nowhere near, especially if these iPad Pros are going to be more expensive. And right now, if N3E chips are ready, they are not going to be able to produce those in anywhere near the same volume that they would need for the iPhone and the Mac. So if Apple has this opportunity to provide this chip, it may be on a very small scale comparatively, in which case the iPad Pro would be the perfect product to do that with. So I'm pretty convinced by all of this, and that isn't even to mention the AI angle.
Now, there have been some other people floating out ideas that there are other companies that are about to reach the same level of performance that the M3 has to offer. So people were thinking that Apple pushing out an M4 kind of puts them like, oh, nope, we're back up there now. Like, you know, those are the little things that I pay attention to. I have a hard time seeing how Apple could introduce an M4 chip 6 months after we just got the M3. But I guess if it does start in the iPad and it doesn't go down to a Mac, then I could see it. But like, what are these AI features that we're going to be, you know, seeing alongside it?
Before we jump into that, I actually also think that it's worth noting that Apple's strategy with Apple Silicon, when they want to put a chip front and center, they often have a reason for doing that. So when it came to the original M1 chips, they did not put those in redesigned devices. They put those in familiar chassis so that the focus would be on the chip. And considering that the iPad is a little bit beleaguered at this point, this putting a brand new Apple Silicon generation inside an iPad drives a lot more interest in that iPad, at least from the tech community.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more people are going to be intrigued by the capabilities that this will have, because you can't test it out in a Mac yet. And that's also really great from a marketing perspective.
Also, it just makes the upgrade that much more of an upgrade. I mean, you're getting OLED displays now, assuming that all of these rumors are correct. You're getting OLED displays. You're getting the potential of MagSafe charging, which I'm still skeptical on, but we'll see. You're getting, you know, now the M4 chip with these AI features, which I definitely want to hear what you think these features could be. And then you have the possibility of a new pencil, which we'll talk about a little more because we got some more information about that. And you have the, hopefully, the landscape camera that could be making its way into it. And all of this stuff added in, like, that makes it more of a bigger upgrade, you know, especially since it's not getting, like, a total redesign, though it could get some slimmer bezels and some different things here and there, but it's ultimately still going to look like an iPad, and an iPad Pro, to be specific. So, yeah, I just think it definitely brings more attention to that lineup. It's still tough. Like, man, I just spent, you know, especially since I've seen other people also flood out the idea of, like, maybe this is going to get into an Air, an M4 MacBook Air, which I really don't think is going to happen. But we said that we might have a little bit of a conversation later in this episode about what we think could be related and announced that's not, you know, iPad. Like, what if it was another way to get... I think it was a comment on one of the videos that we made. This person suggested the idea that it's, you know, iPad with the M4 and a MacBook Air with the M4 specifically for developers. Like an M4, like you can't buy it, it's just a developer like option, which has Apple ever done that with computers? Well, yeah, they have. They had Mac Minis that were developer Mac Minis, right?
Yeah, those were A12 Z or Z, but like, if you're British.
So they've definitely done it, but they don't do it all too often. The last exclusive developer thing that you could buy was for the Apple Vision Pro. So yeah, I don't know. There's plenty
of... I don't think these AI features are going to be exposed to developers particularly at this stage. Yeah. So I can't see that. And also, bear in mind, we only got the MacBook Air like a month ago.
Right, that's why I'm saying, like, I just don't understand how, you know, it's definitely not going to be, in my opinion, going to a Mac. But like, even with an iPad, it's still like, you know, and people, it's not the same product, but I could still see people being upset. Like, what the hell? I just bought a MacBook Air, let's say, you know, for a similar price as this iPad Pro. And I was considering an iPad Pro, but I went with the, you know, M3 because it was a better chip and blah, 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 blah. And now they're like, well, I got all these AI features potentially coming to an M4 chip that's more powerful, maybe. I don't know. I could see the frustration, but again, I can see it both ways. So it definitely adds far more intrigue to the event on what's actually going to happen in that realm. Now, what about AI features? What are you thinking? Have you heard anything specific? I haven't seen a lot of specifics around it.
So there have been some rumors about this. A good example is apparently Apple's developed a feature for Safari that is a summarization tool, and that runs on device. So you can go to a web page and it will analyze the themes and the repeated words to be able to provide you with a short summarized version of that web page. But the key thing is that apparently runs on device. That uses Apple's AI model, which is quite different from other options that are available at the moment. I mean, in Safari, that may not be so useful, but if that's available in other apps, maybe you could use that in the Notes app if you have a really long note you've written. Then you can summarize points from that, and you could do that offline. And it should do that much faster than anything that connects over the internet. So if that is a feature that Apple introduces next week, and it is an iPad exclusive, and then at WWDC they announce that that is actually coming to other devices, or maybe they don't. Maybe they don't mention those on-device features at WWDC. That is later in the year for the iPhone event.
Yes, but it helps drive home more features. So, like, I still believe that if they do this, this is still all a setup for, you know, the next generation of the platforms. It just makes more sense, especially since it's all supposed to be heavy AI driven in June. So, like, this is like a good way to sneak out a couple. Like, they have to be available now. They can't just be like, here's M4 with power of, you know, the neural engine to take the AI features better, and then they don't actually have anything that are available day one. That's a big flop, in my opinion. You have to have some, obviously, but it's not going to be a lot, and then we'll get more in iPadOS 18. And then, you know, I don't think the Macs are still going to get updated by June. But maybe. I don't know. It's all tough to say. I don't know what Apple's doing. You know, it's like the one product line now where I'm like, I have no idea. Because iPhones, we know, every September, those are going to happen. And there are other products that are usually around a strict date, or at least in that time frame of a yearly upgrade or every other year, whatever. The Macs now, they're just pumping these chips out at a crazy rate that they're just able to just drop them in there. I don't know. It's strange.
I think what's safe to say about these iPads is that this is Apple's biggest effort to date, I think, actually, or at least since the 2018 iPad Pro, to really push this device. And it, by the sounds of it, they're really throwing everything at this. So we're getting a new design. We're getting a new Apple Pencil. We're getting a new Magic Keyboard that is more laptop-like. We're getting a potentially slightly larger displays or slimmer bezels or some variation therein. Potentially a camera that's moved around. We're getting some of the best display technology on the market. And let's remember, these are also ProMotion displays. They should also be thinner. And then you add AI, then you add a first generation Apple Silicon chip before it even comes to the Mac. This is everything. This is everything Apple's
got. Yeah, that's what I was saying. It makes it a huge upgrade.
And considering the amount of criticism that the iPad has come under, especially in the last few years, you know, when things like Stage Manager was introduced, there was so much excitement that Apple was finally listening, but it just hasn't got there. It hasn't done what it needed to do for the vast majority of those users who really wanted that sort of windowing feature. So this feels like Apple's recommitment, I think, to the iPad. Will it be enough? Is giving it MagSafe charging, is giving it the M4 in 6 months' time going to make it easier for me to do those things that I currently do on my Mac? We'll see. Maybe it's going to just be such a great experience with that display, with those exclusive AI features. Maybe this new keyboard will be such a great design that I can remove the iPad from it so seamlessly. It's such a great experience to use it that I will prefer using it to my MacBook Pro. Maybe they finally will have figured all of this stuff out, and finally the iPad Pro will be what it kind of always should have been. And I'm a little bit skeptical about that, but I think if it's ever going to happen, this is going to be it.
I wonder if the AI power or the AI in the chip, the neural engine that's going to help this and everything altogether, I wonder if that's going to bring display features. So, like, a lot of TVs these days are using processors that are supposedly using the power of AI and using its power to upscale content that's not quite at the level that you want. I wonder if, like, because of these displays, the OLED, is it going to really help, I don't know, bring a slightly sub 1080, you know, video that you're watching or whatever. I don't know. We're watching most of the stuff via stream and everything. Like, is it really going to bring and upscale those like TVs can possibly? I don't know. I'm trying to think of like where we're using.
There's got to be some kind of killer features like that that we've not thought of.
Yeah.
That really feel special and really feel impressive, because ultimately if they just say, oh, well, we have a built-in summarization tool that you now get on your iPad Pro, it's not enough. So they're going to have to show off some kind of photo editing tool that is only available in the Photos app on the iPad.
That's
or show off some maybe Final Cut or Logic for the iPad.
Yeah.
And they have features that are above what is currently capable on the Mac.
That would
things
be
that really drive creators to this platform.
That would be the most frustrating thing on earth. Let's pretend all the years where I was championing, I don't know why I tried to say that word. Me and you were talking earlier and I tried to say championing like six times and couldn't say it. Did it okay there. Let's just remove all of the times where I've been saying that I wanted Final Cut for the iPad. We all know I don't use it. I should. But they would bring a feature like that to the iPad only and not the Mac, making you more frustrated, being like, why can't I use this on my Mac? Maybe it'll make
it
me switch.
It would be to push you. It would be to make you give the iPad a chance again.
Could it help Stage Manager? Is there like an AI way to help Stage Manager? Like it'll just
I really hope so.
Intuitively hope so. Know that like these are the windows that you like to use and like creates that space for you, makes it less terrible. I don't know. Like there's got to be a war. But again, I still feel like they can't do too much because iPadOS and iOS, although they don't really focus a ton of time on iPadOS anymore at WWDC. It's usually like, here's iOS. And then here's like two or three things that you're getting with the iPad that's exclusive to that. And then everything else is. But then they could, because if this is the only chip that still has M4 at the time, there's, I don't know. This is like these next 2 months are going to be really huge, in my opinion, just with everything that they've got going on. And it makes it exciting because it's been a rough couple of months with things, you know? There just hasn't been a lot to talk about. So, so you fully think, if you had to put a percentage, will it be M4 or M3? What percentage are you leaning?
I'm going to say I'm 70% sure it's going to be M4.
Okay. I think I'm 60.
Okay. Have I convinced 60, you a little more?
Yes. I was always 50-50. Yeah, so yeah, you gave me another 10%. Let's just put it
good.
That way.
Well, I hope it's good anyway. I could be completely wrong.
Oh, I mean, you're not the one who came up with this report. So we're vetting the sources. We feed what off the sources, you know, the information that we have. But ultimately, we're not the ones who said that. So, I mean, I trust Gurman. And if he's hearing this, I don't doubt that this is not something that's happening. It's just whether or not it's going to happen now is a different story. With that said, we've also heard from Gurman on that same report that he had on Sunday on his Power On newsletter about the Apple Pencil 4, 3, 3. What are they going to call this? They're going to call it the 3.
I think they're going to call it Apple Pencil Pro.
Oh, you okay, good. They should, because I don't like numbered generations when there are multiple products.
I think you're
going to
have Apple Pencil, which is the Apple Pencil with USB-C, and then Apple Pencil Pro.
So no more of the other nonsense. Got it. Yeah. Okay. So let's just call it Apple Pencil Pro for the sake of this conversation. Now, we've talked about the squeeze gesture, I think. Did we talk about this? I know I've done it on videos. Yeah. So 17.5 showed some code. Squeeze gesture could do a bunch of things. Maybe with the whole AI, now you can leverage the tool to have some sort of AI feature with, like, in the photos editing app, like you were saying, where like you squeeze it enough and it removes objects and stuff. I don't know. There's going to be some tie-in. Do you think the Vision Pro rumors are going to come to this new pencil? Because it's supposed to have haptic feedback, and I can totally see the haptic feedback being for when you're writing in air. Like, right, that makes sense. And switching between tools and stuff, getting that satisfaction that you've actually made a selection.
I can see that. I think it actually the haptic feedback will be even better for the iPad because the iPad doesn't have a haptic engine.
Right.
So say on the Mac, when you move stuff around with the trackpad in an application like, I don't know, Keynote, you feel the borders, it detects it and gives you that little bit of feedback. If you could do that with the Apple Pencil, when you maybe you're on a canvas and you move over the edge of the canvas, you will feel the edge of the canvas. I think that could make a dramatic difference. Even when you click buttons or you bring up, you long press with the Apple Pencil and you bring up icons or whatever it may be, it seems like the perfect way to implement that, because I don't know if you really could implement a haptic engine in the iPad, especially on the larger model that would make the whole model vibrate. But I think something that you hold with your fingers would work perfectly, actually. So I think it makes perfect sense. I think it's a really clear way to separate that USB-C Apple Pencil from this next generation Apple Pencil, whatever that may be called.
I didn't think about this, but is that why they didn't implement it into the trackpad for the Magic Keyboard? Well, first off, it's just so thin. But
yeah,
like,
I think it's because it's so thin.
If they beefed it up a little bit with this new material, do you think there'd be enough room for it, or are they still trying to keep it as thin? Because we don't really know like specific dimensions on that, right? We just know materials.
I honestly don't know. I really
that would be cool
know.
Too. To put it on the trackpad would make it feel, you know, they want it to be, quote, more laptop-like than ever. So I feel like it would be a good idea to put that in the trackpad as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm all for the new pencil. We obviously are getting a new pencil. Otherwise, I feel like, well, I mean, it's not so obvious. It is an iPad event. We know for sure it's an iPad event. There's a pencil in the animation. And like, so the pencil doesn't have to necessarily reflect that we're getting a new one, but we've seen the code. It's been long overdue. So that'll be cool. I do want to say one thing. We were talking about the landscape camera in the last episode, and somebody called me out for complaining that I don't want to look off to the side, but I do that in this podcast. See, I'm looking now directly into the camera. Totally valid call out. Totally understand what you mean, but it is a little bit of a different scenario. See, this camera is not a webcam. It is, you know, completely different, separate camera. But my computer is over here. And so if I was to look here the whole time, well, then I cannot make eye contact with Hartley and those eyes of his. So I need to be able to look into your eyes, Hartley. Well, I thought that was pretty funny. Somebody called me out on that. I'm like, yeah, he got me there. Like, it's just different, okay? It's different because I said so. What about the Magic Keyboard? So we talked about that briefly. Yeah. Any news that you think... You know, it's still the same aluminum material.
We don't really know too much more about it at this point. I do think, though, that there are going to be... I think there's three potential other major announcements at this event that have nothing to do with the iPad.
Oh, is this our... Okay, so we said we were going to talk about this, and we didn't do that. And so you wanted to do that. Is this what we're just jumping right into that, then?
Yeah, I think we should.
Three announcements?
Yeah. I think there's three potential ones.
Can I guess one of them?
Guess all three.
Oh boy, I don't know if I can guess all three. I'll guess one first. We'll see where I'm at. Okay. If I'm wrong on this one, then I just don't want to be wrong anymore. Apple Vision Pro for the UK.
Yes, and international. So China, Canada. I can see that happening because we know that it should be happening before WWDC because we want developers, or Apple wants developers to have Vision Pro in their hands ready for Vision OS 2. They need to hurry up and get that available. And also, we know that Vision Pro is not selling particularly well in the US at the moment. So if they've got the stock available now, which they definitely do, there's plenty of countries now where they've got all of the sales infrastructure ready. They've got all of the corporate infrastructure ready. They've got localization ready for Vision OS. So it really should be any day now. I don't think it's going to be a big part of the event. But you have to remember that there's actually a huge audience that watches these Apple events that are not in the US. Very, very considerable. These Apple events are watched all around the world. So if Apple even dedicates 10 minutes, it could even be at the start of the event, and to say, we are here today to talk about the iPad, but before we do that, let's talk about another device that you know, our customers in the US have been loving for the past few months. And then they'll show us a fancy little video about it. And then they'll bring up the slide with all of the flags, and they'll say, and today Vision Pro is going on sale in these 12 countries with 50 more to come or whatever it may be. But I think that is probably, I don't want to call it almost certain because it just has not been rumored, but I think it is, it's got to be any day right now. And I just can't see that happening via press release because international press has not had hands-on time. So it needs to kind of be rolled into other stuff. And I can completely see that happening at this event.
So my also, my thought process was apparently The Independent also said that there's a London event happening. And, you know, Apple does do hands-on in like New York, obviously Cupertino whenever there's a big event. But like when it's these smaller ones, I think with the MacBook Air, they did one in New York and Toronto. They do like these little local, like smaller centralized areas. But I guess they haven't done what you would know more about the UK and being out there. I guess they don't do one in London a lot. And so this one's like, is that true? That's what I think it said.
Well, the difference is that Apple now has its Battersea campus, which is a brand new campus right in the middle of London. So that that is a new facility for them to host this particular event for the press app. But I think that if it is happening, I think it's got to be for Vision Pro.
Well, so I mean, it could just very well be that they now have the setup in place to have media there and just do the same things that we do here, and that's fine. But I'm also thinking like, well, you know, Vision Pro, it's going to come out, so
it's so got to be more than a press release. It's a brand new Apple product, so they have got to give all of the international press, it will be the same in every other country where this launches, all the major newspapers, major media outlets will want to do their own little reviews, because of course that's been completely absent in all of these other countries. It's easy to forget that, and this is a major Apple product. It's so important, and yet the rest of the world just does not have it. This is something
I don't think
that,
it'll be a ton
I'm
of
pretty
time.
Sure it's coming at this time. No, it'll be like 5 or 10 minutes.
Brief.
There'll be more local pushes, you know, local reviews, local ads. I think that's it's got to happen. It's got to happen. It's got to be in the next month, surely. I still haven't tried it.
Yeah, well, you can try it next week.
Yeah, that's gonna be weird. I'm excited for it though.
Yeah. Two more announcements. I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Let me just by process of elimination. It's not going to be an iPhone. Ah! No, they're not going to do a mid-year refresh. We're already past that. So, okay. Not going to be an iPhone. Not going to be an Apple Watch. Not going to be a Mac. Not going to be a Mac.
I don't think so, no.
AirPods? That was my next guess. No?
I don't think so, no.
What are the other two?
The Apple TV.
Oh. We had thoughts on the Apple TV. I thought that was supposed to be towards the end of the year.
It was Mark Gurman, I believe, that said it was due in the first half of this year. And it's the first half of this year. We've not got that many months left when this could happen. It doesn't seem like a WWDC thing. So it would absolutely make sense. Give that the A16. Give it the A17 Pro. I don't know if there's any other little updates we're expecting for it, but we are expecting a new Apple TV this year, and we are expecting it in the first half of this year. So when we are looking at an event, that is absolutely a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I just think that it's easy to forget with all the focus on these iPads that there is other stuff in the mix.
That was the last thing on my mind. I genuinely did not think about that.
Well, you got one more. You got one more chance. There's one more product.
Oh boy, I was already terrible on that first hint. Okay, give me another hint on this one.
This one currently has the S7.
Okay. So a HomePod?
Yes.
Okay. Mini, I'm guessing?
HomePod with a screen.
No, they're not going to do that here.
I think they might.
Dude, that would be big.
I can see it because the components for this touchscreen HomePod, so we're not talking about like a full Google Home device with a massive screen. We're talking about just the current HomePod, but with a small LCD display on the top.
Okay, okay.
That would be able to display what you're currently listening to.
Now I'm less excited. That's fine, though. That is cool, but that's less exciting than like a full like Google Home.
Yeah,
style.
But it would sit in the lineup above the current HomePod, I expect, or it would replace the current HomePod. So it may not even be, it may be like a HomePod 3. It may have a faster chip. So it currently it could go all the way up to the S9, which is a much more powerful chip. And we've seen the components leaking for this. So it will have this sort of domed top display, quite a small LCD. I think it's about 6 or 7 inches circular. And I assume it would just show you whatever you're listening to. So it would provide you with the album artwork, and it would show you how many minutes you've got left on your podcast or whatever. And it would provide you with some more intuitive touch controls. I don't think you're going to get too much more out of it, but it would be good with things like timers that you could watch them. I don't think it needs to do that much. But if we want to give the HomePod a bit of love and give it a bit of an upgrade, that's a good little HomePod upgrade. You know, we only got the last HomePod about, what, nearly a year and a half ago now?
Yeah, could do like a swipeable like widget style thing, just like a few presets, like timers, and like if you don't want to talk to it.
That's all it needs. Yeah. Little weather widget on there. That would be a great little HomePod upgrade. You have to admit that that would just be a nice little thing to get at this time of year.
Here's the thing about that. I don't know about most people's setup, so I'm just purely speaking about mine. My HomePods are like in a spot where I can't see the top of it very easily. So like that doesn't really do you any good when you're like looking from it. Like say you have one in your kitchen and you're in the living room, like it's in the same like visible, you can see it, but you can't see the top of it. So how are you supposed to see what's playing from a distance? Like, oh, I like this song. What is that? Like you'd have to physically go walk over there. If it had a screen, you can kind of see more of what we're doing. You know, so like that's a very specific practicality that you have to think about.
I think we'll get there. I think we will get that HomePod Max or HomePod Ultra or whatever. I think we'll get that at some point. Yeah. But I think that if you just imagine this instead as an upgrade on the current HomePod, for those people that do have their HomePod on a low side table or a kitchen countertop or somewhere where they can see the top of it, that is an improvement.
Right. And like I said, for some people, they're going to be able to see it.
To watch that, just to be able to glance over and just lean over and see how much time is counting down, or that even just playback controls. Because I don't want us to have to constantly tell Siri to skip to the track. I would just like to be able to press it.
Sure. And that's fine. Useful. But like for me here, I'm looking, my TV is off over here. I have one on each side for stereo, you know, like, so like that, they're kind of set away. So it's just my own specific thing. I feel like some people are going to be kind of in the middle of like, okay, yeah, I can kind of see it. Like in the kitchen, totally makes sense. I like that idea. But you had me excited. You had me excited when you said screen. And then I was.
I'm still excited for it. I'm still really excited for it. Sure. It would actually be like a day one purchase for me in a way that the iPad Pro wouldn't.
Would you get two?
Because I want that. Yeah, probably. I definitely would get one for my kitchen countertop. Yeah. I'd love that to be able to just see my album artwork, just be able to skip some tracks. Skip through songs. That's all I want. Watch my timers. And if that sells for the same price as the current HomePod, I'm completely happy with that. I think it would be the unsung hero of this event.
Just gives my kids another opportunity to say, play Fart Song by Fart Man, which is what they currently say to our Google Home. Gotta love 7 and 5 year olds, which I also laugh at it. So it, you know, it's probably not helping. Anyways, yeah, I mean, that would be cool. All right, so that's the iPads. I mean, we really talk about the iPad Air, but there's really nothing else new to report on there, right? I mean, just
yeah, I think
all the same stuff that we talked about last week. Definitely go check out that episode. I will say in the time frame that, you know, over the last week, we did have two new products. We'll start with the Apple adjacent specific sort of product. This is the Beats Solo 4s. So it's been about 8 years since they updated the Solo 3 wireless. Now they got rid of the naming convention, just kind of made it Solo 4 easy to remember. I don't have to add the wireless in there. My take on it is that they sound really good. They're kind of a classic legendary headset that looks the same. They upgraded the cushions here. It's a lot like basically baby Studio Pros. And so, I mean... Yeah, they sound really good. I don't know what else to say. The price point's a little tricky. I feel like $200, like you're kind of dipping into a range where like you can oftentimes find the Sony WX1000 XM5s or whatever those things are called, and like some other Bose, like full-on over-ear headphones with actual noise cancellation that you don't get on this, like for $50 more. And so that's really tough for me to say, but then you don't get the whole Apple ecosystem advantage. And also for you Android people out there that happen to be watching, you do get quite a bit of Android compatibility with this, which is nice. A lot of features that are very similar in nature to what Apple offers. You can register it to your Google email address, and then it'll basically have the same type of pairing connectivity. So all of your devices that are registered, you can easily use these, and they're automatically paired. So that's pretty cool. It's what we've had on Apple for a while with the AirPods. And then the other thing, which has been getting a lot of bad coverage on, is the Rabbit R1. Have you had a chance to look into this a little more?
Have you seen the reviews? I do feel a little bit vindicated.
Because you thought it was going to be bad? Wow, way to go out on a limb there, Hartley. I kind of went into... So this was announced similar time frame as the Humane AI Pin. And like I looked into that a little more, but I really did, on purpose, wanted to be as like blind, go in blind with these things. Just because there was also a lot of other stuff going on at the time. But like mostly I just wanted to not really know a lot about it before getting it. I wanted to just kind of discover a new piece of tech, you know, on my own. Like, do you guys remember the joy that is like getting something new and like working with it and figuring it out and like seeing what it can do, all the new features? Like, we don't get that a lot these days, especially you and I who are constantly reviewing these things, and like we just already are predisposed to knowing. Like, there are lots of people in the world that like will get a new phone and they don't know all of the features that you can do with it. And so like that's got to be exciting when you figure out your phone can do these things for the, you know. And so like with a completely different type of device, it's, I was like, yeah, that'll be cool. I love the look of it. You know me, I'm a big fan of orange, even though this is incredibly bright. Am I burning your retinas with this? Like, this is orange. This is very orange. I like the, you know, it's, was it Teenage Design or whatever that did the, yeah, Teenage Engineering, whatever the name is, that did the design of this. And like they make a lot of cool products that are very similar to this. And yeah, I mean, but all of this stuff could just be an app. Let's just going to call it like it is. I will say again, I love the cool look of this. It's like a mixture, you know, Teenage Engineering. They do these things all the time where it's like very bright colors, mix of like retro. Like this dial's cool, I guess. But it's just like the UI is so weird to like navigate through. There's no back button. There's no, you know, I went into this blind. I opened up the cassette tape. I'm filming and looking at it while I'm opening it up. So I definitely missed the QR code that said like, here's the user guide. So that would have been nice. But all right, well, by next week, we'll be talking about what we have. And that should be... Yeah. That'll be a good episode because we'll finally have concrete.
It'll be satisfying, won't it?
It'll be a set. And then maybe we'll briefly talk about my experience with it the next week or whenever they come out. And then we can stop talking about that for a little while. We'll get a guest maybe for one of those so they can. Or actually, we got to put out the 101st episode. So it'll be a little bit. We'll give you a break. Give us those questions, by the way, so that we can add you into the show. And with that said, we'll catch everybody in the next episode.